Now, love is a popular word these days. Ask any newly engaged couple how they knew that they were ready to get married, and they would say, oh, well, we just knew we were in love. Ask them a little bit more what that means. Press into that a little bit further, and what you'll likely hear is a description of love that's mostly about these warm, fuzzy feelings. And then comes that first big fight as a married couple, and suddenly there's not a whole lot of warm fuzzies left anymore. And so this young couple is still married and needs a definition of love that's a little bit bigger and deeper than they had started out with. Another popular definition of love is that love is to be non-judgmental. Don't judge someone else. That's being loving. And again, if you press into that a little bit further and ask them what they mean, what you'll likely hear is something like this, is that I promise to not judge you and interfere in what you're doing, no matter how self-destructive it may be, so long as you promise to not judge me and interfere with what I'm doing. And love in that sense is not really love for another, but just a form of self-love, of don't bother me and get in my way. As Christians, our definition of love is defined by Jesus. And this is a critical point. This is much bigger than just this sermon. As Christians, our whole worldview is defined by Jesus and by the scriptures and by who God is. We believe that God created this world and everything in it, and they designed this world to function in a certain way. And so as Christians, we believe that life goes best for us when we follow God's plan in our lives. We also recognize that quite often we have lived outside of God's plan. We've made a mess of this world that He gave us. But we also believe that God loved us enough that He sent His Son into the world, didn't abandon us in our mess, but sent His Son to rescue us from that mess, that Jesus is the most complete revelation of who God is and what He wants for us. And so as we hear Jesus and we listen to His words, we seek to follow His instructions, we believe that we're kind of coming back underneath God and His plan and His rule over us. His view defines our worldview. And so when we want to ask a question of what does love mean, or what does this mean, or how should we live our lives, our first thought is not, what do I think, or what do you think? Our first thought, our first question is, what does God think? He defines our worldview, and He defines our definition of love. And so in our gospel reading today, Jesus offers us several different points of what it means for us to love. First is this: we love like Jesus when we abide in His love. When we think of love, we think of it first either as an emotion or as something that we do. But Jesus starts here with us simply abiding in His love, resting in His love. This passage comes just after the more famous passage of Jesus where He says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and abide in me, just rest in me. Remain connected to Jesus is what He's saying. Rest in His love, abide in Him. I was in a Bible study recently and the leader asked the question, what does it mean? Why are we to abide in Jesus? My first answer was, well, we abide in Jesus because we're going to rest. We're going to stay connected to that vine and sort of draw out all that sap. Right? We're going to draw this strength from Jesus by abiding in Him so that we can go out and do great things for Him. That's why we rest in Him. And the leader's response was that still has too much of us in it. It's still too focused on our doing. The instruction to abide in Jesus and in His love is not first and foremost about us doing, us like drawing on some kind of spiritual superpower, but it's just about us resting and delighting in God and allowing Him to delight and celebrate us. Just remain in His love and remember that you are a chosen and a loved child of God. This is hard for us, though, because so many of us are so focused on going and doing and achieving.
And if you're in a Bible study and the leader asks, what are some of the things that we struggle with? You will very rarely hear anyone say, oh, well, you know, I robbed a convenience store last weekend, or I'm thinking about having an affair with someone other than my spouse, right? You don't hear that at all. But to hear somebody say, oh, I really struggle with resting and taking enough time off from work and making time to remember God's command to rest in Him. I mean, that's like a badge of honor that we trot out all the time. And yet that command to rest in God, to remember the Sabbath, to abide in Him, that's on God's top 10. It's number 3. Certainly, we should be a little more committed and take more seriously God's instruction to rest, to abide in Him, to abide in His love and allow Him to love and to care for us. And so to love like Jesus, first we simply abide in His love. And then the second thing, verse 10, Jesus says that if we're going to love like Jesus, we're going to keep His commandments. Well, which ones? Certainly the Ten Commandments are a good place to start. They summarize the commandments that God has set out for us. But if you read through the Gospels, more than that, what Jesus comes back to again and again and again, the commandment that He gives to us is to believe in Him and to trust in His love for us. Our faith is not about going and doing and achieving for God, but remembering what He has first done for us. Remembering the free gift of God's salvation accomplished by Jesus on the cross. To keep His commandments is to keep first and foremost that commandment to trust Him, to trust His work for us on the cross, rather than trusting in our own work. And then, yes, in that relationship of trust, then does come all of these other actions of living out our faith as a response to that love and keeping those commandments, following wherever He leads. If He says, do this or don't do this, then as our response of faith, that's what we do. But it all flows out of this relationship of trust in Jesus. And then third, if we want to love like Jesus, we learn to lay down our life for others. And this is a biggie, right? I mean, it's easy to love others when it doesn't require much of us, but it's a lot more difficult when loving others becomes challenging. It's easy to forgive others and what they've done against us is a minor slight. Oh, sure, I can forgive that. But when someone has done something that has hurt us deeply, to turn the other cheek is really difficult. To forgive someone once or twice or even 3 times, we can do that. But how many times are we to forgive our brother, the disciples asked Jesus? And the answer is not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. To keep on loving and keep on forgiving and keep on forgiving again and again and again. To sacrifice ourselves and lay down our lives for others. This is incredibly hard. But this is the way Jesus has loved us. As John will say in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 4, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus loved us by giving up His life for us on the cross. And so if we are to love others in the way that Jesus has first loved us, we begin to lay down our life for others. We love others sacrificially, even when it's difficult and it hurts and it's challenging. Yet this definition of love that Jesus offers to us, it's much more difficult than the definitions of love that the world offers up. It's much more difficult than the watered-down versions of love that we often see lived out in the church. It's a challenging kind of love. It's a kind of love that can only be accomplished as we abide in the love of Jesus. But because this kind of love is so difficult, there's one other point that we need to remember. Jesus knows that we are going to fail in our efforts to love others the way He has loved us. And so we need to remember this final point. We are loved and chosen by Jesus even when we fail to love others. Jesus says in our reading to these disciples that he no longer calls his disciples servants, but friends. He says that he chose them and not the other way around. And he says this to the disciples that he knows in just a few chapters later are going to betray him and deny him and desert him at the hour of his greatest need. Romans 5 says it this way, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus doesn't love us because we love others or after we love others or love him. Jesus loves us before we love him. Jesus loves us even when we don't love him. And he's laid down his life for us. So abide in his love, rest in him, and then in that love, may you find the strength and the power to love others the way he has first loved you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand.